Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is The Big Conversation. This is The Great Debate, but it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television at home has to be down at zero, or no one will understand either of us. You can also SMS the show on 4478-0008066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. Well, there are only really two shows in town this evening. Two great international stories dominating virtually every network on the globe, except for the United States, who are probably talking about a missing circus animal wandering down Main Street somewhere. But the rest of the world is this evening focused on two, I believe, interlinked stories. The first of them is that Israel has joined in the war against Syria. Twice yesterday, the Israeli Air Force attacked its neighboring sovereign country, one member state of the United Nations, launching an unprovoked military attack against another. So far, the international community has been remarkably silent about it, but not Russia. As an ally of Syria, they were first off the blocks, but the point that they made must be echoed surely by governments throughout the world, that this is an unbelievably provocative move by the skin of his teeth Prime Minister of what they call Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. First of all, Israel attacked what they claimed was a convoy of vehicles taking new weapons to the Lebanese National Resistance, Hezbollah. Muslims, at least, Arabs, at least, will remember Hezbollah. They're the only Arab army ever to inflict a military defeat on Israel. So if Syria was resupplying Hezbollah, most Arabs and most Muslims would be pleased about that, wouldn't they? You'd be surprised, because no sooner had Israel attacked Syria, joining in the war on the side of the extreme fanatic jihadists paid for by Saudi Arabia and other neighbors to attack and invade Syria, we had some very sick people in the Muslim world tweeting and Facebooking that they supported Israel in its attack on Syria. You couldn't make it up. You don't have to. Such people do exist. But this will now clarify and crystallize many things. Whose side are you on? Israel or the Arab Republic of Syria, whom Israel has now attacked? Having attacked in the morning the so-called military convoy headed for Lebanon, they attacked in the afternoon another military installation, this time in Damascus itself. It has placed the whole region on the precipice of general regional war. What do you say? That's my point of view. I want to hear yours. Now, I am in the middle of an enormous storm on the subject of Mali. On Wednesday in the British Parliament, I asked the British Prime Minister, David Cameron, if he would kindly explain to the House the key differences, just the key ones, not them all, just the key differences between the Al-Qaeda we're killing in Mali and the Al-Qaeda we're supporting in Syria. I asked the Prime Minister, just what are the key differences between the hand-chopping, throat-cutting, violent, aggressive, fanatic jihadists you say you've entered the war in Mali to defeat, and the hand-chopping, throat-cutting, violent, fanatic jihadists we're now giving money, weapons, political and diplomatic support and recognition to in Syria? Another story that really couldn't be invented. David Cameron's puerile schoolboy flashman response of attacking me and refusing to answer the question just won't wash. as a very prestigious American writer wrote at length in The Guardian this morning. It's about me and it's about David Cameron, but it's much more important than that. The picture adorning the article shows David Cameron with one of the most brutal Arab dictators of them all, the Arab dictatorship of so-called Saudi Arabia. Well, pot calling kettle black and all that. So, I'm saying that the Israeli attack on Syria and the Anglo-French attack on Mali are very intimately linked. But these are just my views. They're not the views of Press TV, and they're definitely not the views of any government. Not any government that I'm aware of. Certainly, they will be the views if I ever form the government. Zachariah's on the line with the first call. He's from Aberdeen in Scotland. He wants to talk about Israel's attack on Syria. Zachariah, welcome.
Good evening,
good evening, sir.
George Galloway, and assalamu alaikum to all Muslims. I, as an ex-Marine officer, am signing to go to Syria to defend Syrian nation and Assad. And I begged all Shia, 10 million people at least 10 million or 20 million people of Shia, go to Syria. I'm signing right now. I request from Mr. Assad, my dear brother, to arrange for my transport to the Syria to defend the shrine of Zainab, the holy shrine of the Zainab, Salamun alayhum, and the Syrian nation and the regime of the Assad. I'm signing now, and I request all Muslims to should sign. At least 20 million people, they should go. This is not right. Syria is attacked. Is all Muslims are attacked. And Israel should be go under the Article 7 of the United Nations Security Council.
Yes, definitely.
And also
definitely.
Turkey.
Can you imagine
they caused all the trouble.
Can you imagine, I mean, God forbid, that Iran launched a military attack on its neighbor, Bahrain? Can you imagine the hue and cry there would be in the world, Zachariah? We lost him.
Kuwait, and straight he went to the Article 7.
Yeah.
And no, Israel should go under Article 7 and the entire nations should attack Israel. They should make a coalition, all the Muslims, to attack Israel because they are attacking all the Muslims, not only Syria.
Article 7 of the United Nations Charter, of course, provides for any member state of the United Nations to seek the support of the United Nations against a military attack from another member. And Article 7 resolutions are immediately and prima facie are enforceable by the Security Council with anything up to and including military action. Zachariah, let me just make a caveat to the point that you were making. The last thing that Syria needs is for only Shiites to go to defend it. Syria is an integral part of the Arab nation. Syria is an integral part of the Muslim world. All Arabs, all Muslims should now come to the defense of Syria against the military aggression of the US-backed so-called Israel, so-called defense force. Whether Sunni or Shia, whether they're Christian or Muslim, all Arabs, all Muslims should come to the defense of Syria. That's my point of view, but I want to hear yours. Let's see, Gerard from Zimbabwe. Isn't that wonderful? From Aberdeen to Zimbabwe, from A to Z, on the same subject. Gerard, welcome to the show. Gerard, welcome.
Salam alaikum salam.
Nice to hear your voice. Go ahead, sir.
Salam.
Go ahead, brother.
Yes, I want to comment about Israel's aggression on Syria. Netanyahu, the move he has taken now is just a declaration of war on the people of Syria. This is not all about Assad, but it's about the people of Syria. The Muslims world should now take up arms, fight against Netanyahu and his Israelis, the Zionism. It's not about Judaism this time. They are being used by the America. They are being used as a weapon to fight against other people. America is pumping money to Israel right now. Israel is deploying missiles to the Syrian border.
Well, look, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something, Gerard. This is what all the Muslims in the world have got to contemplate this evening. It's what all the Arabs in the world have got to contemplate this evening. We now have a war involving the US, Britain, France, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Israel against an Arab country called Syria. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? That's the question, Gerard.
Yes.
Brother, thanks for the call. Not a clear line, but a very clear point of view. Sajib is in Bangladesh. He wants to talk about the same subject. We don't often get calls from Bangladesh. Go ahead, brother.
Thank you, George. I'm calling you for last 2 weeks, and I get you this time.
Where are you calling from, brother?
I'm calling from Dhaka, Bangladesh.
How wonderful. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I was listening to the international media, and it is very sad that Israel suddenly attacked Syria. I was looking for the motives. I think that the Syrian reason is already into a civil war, and this time is a perfect time for Israel for attacking to attack Syria, because there are the internal reason is totally in turmoil, and the Syrian army will never retaliate against Israel. That's for sure, because they are actually fighting war between each other. And the second one is it's also a way to deceive the international community to actually deceive them from the settlement issue that's going on in West Bank currently in Israel. And as you can see, that the international media is also reporting that U.S. actually backed them and gave them the green signal to attack in Syria. So it was very much pre-planned, and this planning was a bit political and was militarily. And finally, I would like to say that it was something provoking for the whole reason. Israel is seeking an issue to go for war against Iran, and or you can also say against the Arabs once again. And as you know, that Iran and Syria have a treaty between them to support each other for defense. So when Syria will be under attack, Iran has to support Syria.
Well, so I think Iran will definitely defend Syria, as will Russia, as will China, as will Iraq. So if they want to have a regional war, it's going to be one hell of a war. Thanks for that call from Bangladesh. Niall's always worth hearing. He's in Dublin on the same subject. Niall, welcome back.
Cheers, George. Thanks a million.
Welcome.
Okay, I just wanted to say about the latest developments, what's going on in Syria, is that it marks a major escalation in the overall crisis, because what you now have is now Israel coming on board on behalf of the Saudi and the Western-backed Syrian rebels. Basically, now they might not have the same. Of course, they don't have the same ideology, but they have the same goals. That of removing the Assad government in Damascus, and of defeating and dismantling the Syrian state. I mean, this is a blatant act of aggression. It is a blatant, move against international law and the UN Charter. And as you mentioned earlier, George, about Charter 7, UN Charter, Article 7, I mean, there is about as much chance of Syria getting anything out of that than there is, a snowball's chance in hell, basically. That's basically what I'm saying there. You know,
tell me this now. Of course, everything you said there is accurate, but what I was trying to get out of Cameron on Wednesday, and I will continue to try and get out of him, is How come this unholy alliance, or is it unholy? Is it so odd, this alliance? Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Israel, Britain, France, and the United States are all attacking Syria. Does Israel and the United States, for that matter, really want a regime of hand-chopping, throat-cutting, fanatic, jihadist zealots in power in Damascus? Can it really be? And if they do, who are these zealots really working for? Are they the zealots they oftentimes pretend to be? It's all very curious, don't you think?
It is indeed, George. Like, you know, but the odd thing about it is, you know, to these people, to these neo-imperialists, these neo-colonialists and the Zionists, the end justifies the means. It doesn't matter who's in there, as long as Assad and the secular government in Syria is removed. They don't care. As long as Syria is taken out of the way and it's one step forward towards Iran and Russia, and they will not stop, George, until they go the whole way to Beijing and take out China.
They'll never take out China. Let me make that confident prediction. Well, Niall, they say that you can judge a man by his enemies. And if that's true, then Iran and Syria's enemies look a pretty ugly bunch to me. Niall, in Dublin, in Ireland, thanks very much for that. Payman is in Isfahan, in Iran. He wants to talk about Mali. Payman, welcome to the show.
Yes, hi, George.
Hi there, go ahead, sir.
I tried to make call with you 2 weeks ago, but unfortunately I failed. By the way, I'm glad to talk with you again.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
George, I'd like to talk about Mali crisis. You see, France attacked Mali for what they called peaceful intentions, but they suck. And that's because of they haven't analyzed Mali crisis well. In my viewpoint, first of all, France should refrain from the intervention. And secondly, the only organization which can handle Mali crisis is UN. I believe the Western countries do not want to obey the international laws. And just imagine, if Iran did such a thing,
yeah.
George, if Iran did such a thing, absolutely, it would be blamed.
Yes.
And thank you very much. As I know...
Well, it's a very good call, Payman, and a very good point. Imagine if Iran were to land its armed forces in, say, Saudi Arabia, and say that these extremist Wahhabis, cutting off people's hands, cutting off their heads, this grim, unforgiving prison state called Saudi Arabia cannot be acceptable as a neighbor, and Iran has to intervene militarily to support the people under oppression from that regime. Can you even begin to imagine the unleashing of endless trouble that there would be in the world? And yet, that's exactly what France has done. And by the way, Payman, France's attack on Mali is absolutely illegal. It is absolutely illegal. It wasn't even taken to the United Nations, never mind endorsed by the United Nations Security Council. And to claim that the Mali government invited them in misses the point that the Mali government is itself a military dictatorship with no democratic legitimacy, no legality of any kind. They appointed themselves the government of Mali by overthrowing the elected government of Mali. France has a long history of bloody colonialism, of course. Anyone who was watching the pictures of David Cameron in Algiers just yesterday will have noticed that he laid a wreath. What was the wreath? On the tomb of those who perished in the Algerian War of Independence. Against whom did Algeria have to fight to obtain its independence? Against France. And how many martyrs fell so that Algeria could be free? 2 million Algerian freedom fighters fell in the struggle for freedom in Algeria against France. And now the Algerian dictatorship is in bed with the French and the British colonial powers to invade and occupy other African countries, I'll tell you what, it makes you ashamed. And the freedom fighters in the battle for Algiers against French colonialism must be turning in their graves at the sight of little Bouteflika with his big brother David Cameron come to look after him and other tyrants in the region. Cramo's on the line. He's in Italy. He wants to talk about Israel. Cramo, welcome to the show. Now, you have to put the volume down on your television.
Okay. Salaam alaikum, Mr. George.
Alaikum salam. Go ahead, sir.
I saw it on the television. That is 2 weeks ago. The Prince of Saudi Arabia, he is requesting more ammunition for the rebels of Syria, saying that they need more ammunition to fight with the government of Syria. And I saw it on the flag of the rebels of the Syria, right? Allahu Akbar. Muhammad Rasulullah, and they are killing their own brothers, Muslim brothers. And my 1.2, I see always that Russia and China are supporting these peoples. Why is it that they are not going to help them with ammunition to see the third world war in this world? Because I'm not seeing the truth, the democracy in this world.
Well, I think that's a very powerful point. It actually turns my stomach when I hear these zealots shouting Allahu Akbar and other sacred words as they head towards other Muslims to cut their throats, to chop their hands, to murder them indiscriminately in cold blood with their hands tied behind their backs and bullets into their brains and thrown into rivers. All the while chanting Allahu Akbar. What kind of God would accept praise from such murderous killers? Such murderous killers and fools, Cramo. They're being used by Israel, by America, by Britain and France, as are the puppets of the satrapies of the Persian Gulf. These so-called Arab governments who are providing the money and the weapons to these fools to shout Allahu Akbar whilst doing Israel and America's dirty work in an Arab country. It turns my stomach, Cramo. What about you?
Mr. George.
Yes.
Salaam alaikum. I started watching this your program from 2009 when I was in Italy. So I am ready to see this third world war because I'm seeing that right now there is no good world because there is no any democracy. There is no any democracy in this world. They are in for blood money. So we are all ready to see what is going to happen in this world. To go and judge the world because God is going to judge us and we are ready for that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Cramo, the issues have rapidly clarified in the course of the last 24 hours. We knew, of course, that Israel wished for the support and success of the so-called jihadists who are fighting the only Arab government that's still technically at war with Israel. The only Arab government that's never signed a surrender peace deal with Israel. The only Arab government that allowed the Palestinian resistance to operate in their territory, the only Arab government that supported Hezbollah, the only Arab army that defeated Israel ever on the battlefield. We knew that Israel wished for the downfall of the Syrian regime. But Israel has now joined the war. Are you listening to me in the Ummah? Israel has now joined the war, openly attacking the Arab Republic of Syria. Where do you stand? Do you stand with Israel or do you stand with the Arab Republic of Syria? God willing, I'll be back after the news to discuss these matters further. Don't go away. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. Still the voice of the voiceless. We need your calls, we need your emails, and we need your SMS. And the subjects are obvious, and they are not separate issues. Israel has joined the war in the last 24 hours against Syria. Two serious military attacks upon Syria in less than 24 hours by the so-called Israeli Defense Force, the Air Force, using American planes and firing American-supplied rockets. Israel attacked and killed several Syrians and has, they say, intercepted in the first of the two attacks the resupply of Hezbollah in Lebanon so that they can protect Lebanon against Israeli attack, incursion, and the threat of reoccupation. These are very, very serious moments, and they come as the British deepen their involvement in the French colonial attack upon its former territory of Mali. You know that prior to independence, Mali was called French Sudan. And of course, English Sudan was the big one upstairs. And the French long wished to take the rest of Sudan from the British. They failed, but they have succeeded in breaking up Sudan, and fully one third of Sudan is now basically an American-Israeli colony. It's called the Republic of South Sudan. And French Sudan is now, well, French Mali. That's at least for the moment. Just before the Malian people and the rebels, who are wide variety, some are Islamists, some are not, some are Tuaregs, some are Islamists, some are, no doubt, Al-Qaeda, they have melted away in the face of the French invasion. But anyone who believes that they've gone away is making a big mistake. Meher is in Buckinghamshire, in England, on Israel's attack on Syria. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening, good evening.
Really, I wanted to talk to since Ramadan, but I could never...
Never get through. It's a very, very busy program, madam. Go ahead, please.
I know. Thank you very much. You are, because I appreciate your conscious, clear. You are the man of conscience. That's why I like you.
Thank you, madam.
I wanted to speak to you.
Thank you, madam.
Anyway, time is not much there. So here I would like to talk about brutal attack on Syria.
Yeah.
I'm listening for quite a few days. So weeks, actually.
Yeah.
So the thing is that one caller, I think Brother Zakaria from UK,
yeah,
he mentioned, highlighted that we all Shia should go and to Syria and whatever he said about the visit of Shias. So what he means that the whole, almost whole, whole tourism, Syria's tourism depend on Shias.
Yes, because it depends. This is for the tomb of Zainab, yes.
And so that's why we highlight every year millions of Shia go there. So we are really suffering, and we are suffering emotionally, we are suffering. Or of course, every Muslim is concerned about that. Every human being is concerned about this. So one, not, Mr. Golubi, what I would like to ask that Russia and China, I'm really annoyed with them. Only the words, no action, no action. All the time say they without words, they say anything which has no meaning. Just calm and quiet. It's Tony Kai.
No, man, I don't think that's fair. If you don't mind my saying so, Russia has continued to supply as it is bound by treaty and by contract to do. Legitimate military hardware to the legitimate government of Syria. It has, along with China, repeatedly vetoed in the House, in the United Nations Security Council, efforts by the United States, Britain, and others to further isolate and weaken the government in Syria. So it isn't just words, it is actions. And actions now speak louder than words. Meher, thanks for the call. Hudson is still in England. He's in London. He wants to talk about Mali. Hudson, go ahead, sir.
Hello there. I'm online, George.
You're on live, yes.
Assalamu alaikum and Merv, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, my friend. Go ahead.
Yes, George. What I wanted to say, you forgot to mention Turkey as part of the hegemon that's in the Middle East at the moment, allied with NATO. Turkey is a part of NATO. So let's not forget Turkey with the missiles.
No, you're right.
Now they have brought in their hegemonic friend, Israel. But now let me go back and take you to Mali, George. Let's not forget that France also owned Syria. Remember that, too?
Indeed.
That they were a colony of Syria.
Indeed.
I mean, Syria was a colony of France, right? What France is trying to do is trying to undermine the African integrity, undermining the African Union. That's number one. Number two is, people is under this mystical illusion that most Africans are not Islamists. The majority of Africa is Islam. They do practice Islam. You understand? Malians are Islamic people. When these little nuts came from Libya with their not knowing one thing about Islam, all they know is Allah, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. That's all they know. They don't know nothing about Islam and the practice.
Well, I don't know about that. What I do know, Hudson, is they don't know anything about international politics. They don't know when they're being used and abused by people who hate all Muslims and people who hate all the Arabs and people who want the Muslims and the Arabs to be divided and weak so that they can steal their things. I know that they don't know about that, that's for sure. Hudson, good call. King is on the line from Zambia on the Israel-Syria subject. Yes, King, welcome.
Yes, how are you, Garoni?
By the grace of God, I'm in fighting form. Go ahead.
Yes, I've been following your program for a long time.
Thank you.
For the past 5 years.
Thank you, sir.
Ever since you started it.
Thank you, sir.
What I've discovered from the Syrian conflict is that the West has already invaded Syria. You are saying the West will invade Syria. The West has already invaded Syria. The invasion is done in phases. And the deployment of those missiles to protect the Turkey is just a pretext. You remember the Iraq invasion was under the pretext of weapons of mass destruction. But with Syria, it has technically failed to be put on the table. And as such, they are using a pretext of chemical weapons, of which they have not seen. And if it's to use chemical weapons, I've been following the development in Syria, and it has been learned that only the opposition, the so-called Free Syrian Army, would actually use those in the pretext of blaming the government of Assad. And with those who are enlightened, they are able to see the pre-programmed plan to attack Syria and to be a gateway for Iran and the Middle East.
Well, I think they're going to find that gateway is going to close now. There isn't any way that Iran, for example, or Iraq, for that matter, will tolerate an Israeli and other foreign invasion of Syria. And I don't believe that Russia or China will tolerate it either. So if it is a gateway intended to be a gateway to Iran, it's a gateway that may very well be about to be shut in their faces. Syria has this evening said that Israel is massing forces on its border. We'll bring you news first, of course, on Press TV if that story develops. Hannah is in London, wants to talk about Israel and Syria. Hannah, welcome.
Hello.
Yes, Hi. Go ahead. Go ahead, Hannah.
Okay, yeah. I would talk about this unrest happening now with the region, yeah?
Yeah.
This has all been planned 4 years ago to ignite like civil war and for economical and resources control in the region. And if you notice the visit from Mrs. Clinton last year to Algeria and to get support from hitting Mali, and then next will be Algeria maybe, you know. And what's happening in Syria is just all the same thing, you know. And to divide.
Yes,
and
why should,
where the resources are.
I mean, that's why, of course, that little Bouteflika was looking up so imploringly at his big brother David Cameron yesterday, because the Algerian regime, which is of course a dictatorship, just like almost all the others, and with whom David Cameron has the warmest possible relations, and has just signed a new security deal with them, Algeria has probably more oil and gas than any other country in the world. So why would the West not want to take direct control of it? So perhaps in feeding this Frankenstein monster, Hannah, the Algerian regime is signing its own death warrant, don't you think?
Yeah, and the aim is to weaken them fighting each other, you know, using all the things that is there, supported by the other Gulf countries, you know, supporting them. So they're weak, and then Israel come and hit an attack, and then they can't hit back because they're exhausted, killing each other, you see?
Yeah. Great call, Hannah. I really appreciated that. Hannah was in London talking about Israel, as was King in Zambia. But we want to talk about Mali also. I raised quite a storm on Wednesday when I asked the British Prime Minister at Prime Minister's Question Time just exactly what was the difference between the Al-Qaeda we're killing in Mali and the Al-Qaeda we're supporting in the invasion of Syria. Answer, came there none. John's in London. He wants to talk about Israel and Syria. Let's hear what he has to say. John, welcome.
Evening, George.
Evening, sir. Go on.
I have a few points I'd like to make.
Go on.
We actually seem to forget the fundamental point why this all started. Initially, it all started off in Tunisia when the boy who put himself on fire.
Yeah.
It then went on to Egypt. Yeah. And the similarities we've got to see is that when the people stood up, the governments automatically put their foot down and they left. Ben Ali left, Mubarak stepped down, and then it went on to Libya. Libya, we have Gaddafi, who out of the interests of the West, I believe, they went into Libya because Libya has a lot of wealth, and it was one of the only countries that were the biggest donors to the African Union Central Bank. Yeah. There's a lot of hidden agendas out there today, and we seem to forget that it's end of the day, it's the people. You know, we're always concerned about what this government is saying and what this government is saying. And today, we have Syria, we have Yemen, we have Bahrain. Syria, George, you really need to make yourself clear. What I didn't understand, because I've been following your show for a long time now, and in Syria, we need to realize that it's the people who are suffering today. And we need to realize that the people are suffering because of the current government, who is Bashar's government. Yeah? Bashar's government have committed many massacres, and we have seen it in and thank God of the social media today, we get to see from YouTube and independent reporters who send in clips, and we can see that especially today we saw a young girl whose body was sliced from the body to the toe, and this is done by these war criminals, by the people of Bashar. Now who are we supporting? Are we supporting the government of Syria? Are we supporting the FSA? You know, today what Israel done...
All right, John. All right, John. I gave you quite a good hearing there. So you now have to listen to me. The first question I'm posing to you, and you didn't address it, is where do you stand and where do people like you stand on Israel's attack on Syria? In the last 24 hours, the Israeli Air Force has been bombing and rocketing Syria. Where do you, and I'm presuming you're a Muslim, where do you stand on that?
Without a doubt, George, I will never stand with Israel or any country.
Okay, John.
Well, we need to...
Okay,
well,
John, let me... I'm not finished. John, you would never stand with Israel, but my second question to you is this. Why is Israel joining in this war on the same side as you? Why?
This is it, George. These are hidden agendas. We need to realize. You know what? This is actually, like you were saying earlier, Israel are laughing. So are other countries. They're laughing with the situation of Syria today.
Okay. So you accept that Israel has joined the war on the same side as you, which must make you uncomfortable because you would never support Israel, as you've just told us. So we now, John, I'm still speaking, John. We now have a coalition of which you are a part, which involves the United States, Britain, France, Israel, Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Turkey, as was pointed out. Now, I wouldn't like to be in that company, John. I'm not sure how comfortable you feel in it. I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. I would work on the assumption that any war supported by that gang cannot possibly be a war worthy of my support. And you have to work out, and with your conscience and before God and on the judgment day, whether you're making the right judgment here. Now, you have the nerve to ask me to be clear. After what you've just said, you're the least clear man in the world. I, on the other hand, have been clear from day one. I have written, broadcast, spoken. If you've got Google, if you've got YouTube, then you've got no right to ask me to be clear about Syria. I have made my views clear on this Syrian issue from day one. And here is where I stand. The Syrian people have the same right to rise up and overthrow their government as any people on the earth do. But they don't have the right to ask me to send my air force to bomb their country and kill their people in support of their revolution. Number two, if their revolution so terrifies every religious and ethnic minority in the country, it's probably not a revolution worthy of support. Number three, if it's a revolution that can attract the support of America, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Britain, and France, it's probably not a revolution that's in the interests of the Syrian people. I have nothing to do with the Syrian regime. The Syrian regime has never put a single potato on a single plate that I have ever had. As a matter of fact, they owe me money for two trips I made to Damascus that they didn't even reimburse me for. I'm with the Syrian people, but I'm against foreign invaders of Syria. I'm against Israel invading Syria. I'm against America and France and Britain invading Syria. I'm against these so-called jihadists who think by chanting Allahu Akbar while acting as an ally of Israel and America, they're somehow involved in a holy war. It's not me that needs to be clear, John. It's you that needs to be clear. It's you that needs to get your thoughts more clear, because I infer from your discourse that you are a sincere and intelligent person. So go to your bed tonight after your prayer and ask yourself if you're not making a terrible, terrible mistake. Asma's in London, wants to talk about the same subject. Asma, go ahead.
Good evening, George. You couldn't put it better. I couldn't put it better myself. But
thank you.
I hope you bear with me, mate.
Thank you. Go ahead.
You're speaking truth there, calling Allahu Akbar and killing each other, and that's forbidden. You see, the Saudis has corrupted the whole Muslim world. And the reason why they're doing this is this, you know, is just to save their own skin. Those Patriot missiles were only deployed to save Israel after she strikes Syria. Let's think back why they put them there. You know, and that is really a crime. So I don't see Syria should now go and drop something on them. It's a trick. The Saudis, again, they're playing tricks in Mali. They're supporting all these groups, Muslim groups, to fight amongst themselves and then let the West come in and finish them off, because at the end of the day, they're scared for themselves. They don't want to be touched. So the only way to do this is to really put, you know, a problem between the Muslims, pretending she's actually helping them, because then she can't, because if she's on the same side with the Israelis, how can you be helping Muslims, which the Israelis are the biggest enemies to Muslims?
And I'll tell you what, Asma, Saudi Arabia is on the agenda also. Of course, there are plenty of jihadists in Saudi Arabia who would like to cut the heads off the kleptocratic class that call themselves the House of Saud and have called their country after their own family. But there are also foreign interests that are determined not to lose control of Saudi Arabia, which of course they currently have. To that end, they have many plans for the partition of Saudi Arabia itself. The Muslims can keep Mecca and Medina. Trust me, neither the British or the American governments are interested in that. The oil is in the eastern province. Pretty soon, maybe in 2 years, maybe less, you'll hear Western journalists and Western governments talking about the poor Shiites in the eastern province. Don't we need to come to the aid and protect the Shiite population in the eastern province? Wait till you hear them discuss how the Hejaz has really got nothing to do with the Najd, and that the people of the Hejaz are a different kind of people. Maybe they should join with Jordan. Maybe they should be an independent country. Saudi Arabia will be itself divided and partitioned if the Saudi ruling class ever begins to look like it's losing control of the situation. You have to beware what you wish for. You have to be ready to reap what you sow. Gary is in Halifax. He'll possibly be the final caller because he's so good. Gary, go ahead.
Good evening, George. How are you?
By the grace of God, good. Gary, go ahead.
Okay. We have this situation that's very interesting at this moment. We have unfolding right before our eyes what a very long-standing friend of mine used to call the cunning of history. Who could have predicted exactly when and how State of Israel would show up on the same fighting front with Al-Qaeda? Who could have predicted that one, George?
You couldn't make it up. You couldn't make that one up, Gary.
That it says everything we need to know about what is wrong with the Zionist state and what is wrong with the U.S. imperial project utilizing this tool. The second point, beyond this cunning of history, there are some very interesting statements that some people make at various times in their political past. One of the most interesting and enlightening statements about the whole outlook of the U.S. as a global empire dribbled out of the mouth of Harry Truman when he was still Vice President of the United States under President Franklin Roosevelt. As Vice President, he rarely ever expressed an opinion, and he wasn't expected to express any opinion at any time. But he was very upset with the Roosevelt administration's decision to declare war not just on Japan after the Pearl Harbor attack, but on Nazi Germany as well. And in that connection, he was having a discussion with some congressmen, and they were raising the question, and he was very concerned about this question, that if you go to war against Nazi Germany, you're going to have to also go to war against the Soviet Union. And he said, why don't we just let them all go kill one another?
Yes, Gary, there you are. You've put your finger on it. One of the tactics involved here is to just let them all go kill one another. I'll be back next week, God willing, for more of Comment. What?